Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. Well, we're having a good time on Saturday night, March 14th. It was a Friday the 13th. We had two of those in 3 weeks. You can imagine that. It's pretty hard to take, anyway. Tonight's going to be some good stuff. Steve Barish wasn't on last night because he was out partying with groupies. He went to a rock concert, probably went backstage with groupies. Well, that's Steve. He's a wild man. And everybody seems to be enjoying little bits and snippets of my book that I've been working on. I've been reading it, finally, to people. And everybody seems to like it, an inside track. So anyhow, let's see what Dr. Bell's up to here tonight. Whoa. Are you down there, Dr. Bell?
Yeah, there you are. I hope you guys are enjoying this Coliseum. I don't really like it myself. It's terrible. If they do another Whole Life Expo show here, you won't see me attending it.
We're in the Coliseum tonight.
Well, we just did the New Light show. How many of you guys came to that? Yeah. The only problem we had there was quiet, but we didn't have enough room. We were a little like sardines. But anyway, I'm going to talk today a little bit about, hopefully get up into aura fields, which is important to talk about. But mainly I want to talk about the immune system and consciousness and give you a little history. So I've got some slides with me here. I can show you some stuff today. Back at the end of World War II, the government was very paranoid for several reasons. One, we had used the nuclear bomb on Japan. And two, Russia had it. So there was tremendous paranoia. As a result of this paranoia, a lot of early warning radar bases and radar experimentation to warn us began. That was the beginning of the Star Wars project. It was also the beginning of ELF, which has become a real problem in our society today, and I'll explain it probably on this small board if I get a chance, but how that works. But I was working at the University of Michigan in the early 50s, and during this time, this radar was being developed at Los Alamos Labs. Oh, much better. Actually, I kind of like the small one better now. I'm used to it. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to start a show for live now?
I don't know. Why?
Do you want to turn the light out?
If I turn the light out, then you can't see this.
Oh.
Yeah. This is bad. This lighting is all one light. You know, it's not my trip. It's theirs. So. I don't know. I'll ask the guy. Yeah, I use a lot of slides. Find out if they can turn some of these lights off.
They can only turn off all of them in that
pressure. What about these little guys? If they come on, that's good light.
Only that one stays on.
Oh, well, that's going to work. Is that thing focused all right? Let me see. All right, just tell. Okay, can they turn them down a little bit? Can't tell if that's focused. Let me focus that projector a little bit. Awesome. Is it? Just the lighting is that bad, huh? Yeah, okay. Can you guys see the board now, too? Okay, then we'll just leave it like that. Doesn't look focused to me, but if you're happy with that. Anyway, this radar was being developed. This is a 5-megawatt search radar. And this photograph was taken where I was physically stationed at Point Arena Air Force Base in the 776 Radar Squadron in 1959. That's when we took that picture. And this antenna was 366 feet across. I think that'll focus a little better. Just turn that focus knob. It's an autofocus, but just see if you can get it. You see the big knob right there. Yeah, see if that'll get a little better. There it goes. Whoops, too much. Right in there. That's better. Now it'll stay focused. It's autofocus. At the same time, at Los Alamos, before this radar was installed in the 50s, when they were building these sets at Los Alamos, they were shooting these big radar beams, 5-megawatt beams up and down the valley out there. And what would happen is that the Greys, the little aliens that were around in that time, they're still there, I had these little plutonium-powered spaceships. And when this huge amount of radio frequency would get inside their little spaceships, it would cause an arcing. And this arcing would cause a big flash inside, and the ship would crash, usually intact, because it just burned, it just sort of like burned up the occupants slightly. But the ships would oftentimes come down intact. So we began to gather up these ships. The real concern happened, however, in 1948 with Roswell crashes. There were two of them, where they found a ship full of body parts, human body parts. That was the real, that put the big alarm in the system. This is what caused Truman to begin later on, again known as the MJ-12 and the secret government and all that. That's where it all started, because of this paranoia. So they went on and developed these radars and began to install them. We put this one up at Point Arena Air Force Base, and this was Northern California. You could throw an egg up in the air, it would cook this egg from the inside out in seconds. I mean, less than a second. And the danger of this type of equipment is that during what's called atmospheric inversion, the radiation comes down and hits you and causes you to get radiation poisoning. These radars are still in use today. They don't use this exact same set anymore, but the same technology is in place today. One time we were at, Hamilton Air Force Base was our scramble base. And every night, these flying saucers would be coming down at 20,000 miles an hour from outer space, about 200 miles off the coast of California. And maybe 100 of them come down at a time. Then they'd make a lateral turn and go down towards Mexico at a lateral speed of about 5,000 miles an hour. This went on every night. We used to fill out a form, or actually the guys that ran the scopes filled out a form called a DDS Form 332, document this. And then once it was filled out, then it was shredded the next day. I mean, if you read the book, The Promise, you'll see what I did about this. This is my first interaction with the government, where I basically had a very negative thing to say to them. This radar went on to become even more powerful. And one story I want to tell you real quick. One night we were looking at the screens. And I wasn't a radar operator. I was the guy that kept the radar in operation. My job was to make sure if it broke, it got fixed quick. And one night we saw a 60-mile-an-hour, very large blimp on the screens. So we scrambled a bunch of jets out of Hamilton Air Force Base. And if you know the California coastline, it's very high mountains for about 100 and some miles straight down into the ocean. And there's a highway called Highway 1. We were at one end of the mountain range, and at the other end of the range is a town called Jenner, California. So we scrambled these jets out. They went out over the ocean from Hamilton, couldn't find anything. So on the way back, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, they noticed a Greyhound bus going down the road down towards Jenner. And what had happened is the radar beam had gone out, got in and hit these inversion clouds, and come back and put 5 megawatts on this bus. So the bus showed up as a bogey. And my point is, the people in that bus got a huge amount of radiation. Okay? And it can happen to anybody, anywhere, just because of that weather thing. The newest thing that they're doing now, which was in Popular Science, is the HEART Project, High Frequency Oral Research. Now, they have one of these in Puerto Rico, they have two in Russia, and the newest one's going in Alaska. This is 7.5 trillion watts. I don't know if you know how much power that is, but that's enough power to melt steel on the moon without a problem. As a matter of fact, a good 1,000-watt laser can melt something on the moon. This is 1.7 trillion watts. It's in the article. And this system is designed to work on three levels. One level, it heats up the atmosphere, the ionosphere, which is already in trouble, to 400 degrees from a temperature of minus 40 degrees, and then it acts like a lens and an antenna. Then from one part of the Earth, they can send radiation up, bounce it off this lens, and beam it back down and X-ray into the ground for hidden nuclear labs and things like that. Or they can turn the power down and make it wider to start heating up the area and change the weather. Or they can focus it into a very small beam and neutralize people, individuals, anywhere on the Earth. And they have these different new, I know if you noticed, the CIA has put these new satellites, one of them was called Clementine, in orbit recently. You read your newspapers, it's all in there. These are the monitor satellites that focus and guide this new grid system called HAARP. The Air Force, it has an environmental impact report, says that this radiation will ignite the fuses, the flares in the backs of cars. It will cause destructive environmental changes, and of course it can incinerate humans like a microwave. This system is going in as we speak. It's a continuation of the Star Wars program. It's also called a full global shield. And this is a real problem, because one of the things that's wrong with this world right now is the Ring of Fire is overactive, and we're having more and more earthquake activity. Earthquake activity is caused by the Earth's oral frequencies. The oral frequencies of the Earth are determined by the relationship with the solar system and the relationship with the human beings and other animals that have auras that are living on the surface of the planet. And when these conditions get out of hand, you have a lot of chaotic weather, a lot of chaotic situations in consciousness as well as global. And the sun, when the sun puts an energy off, it's called solar wind. The solar wind hits the Earth in an area what's called the auroral electrojets, a very sensitive area to the environment of the world. If you screw it up, you can lose your atmosphere. And this is exactly where this global shield is going to operate, right in what's called the Earth auroral electrojet. It's very bad business. Some of the politicians in Alaska where it's being installed, one of the senators up there, he's going for it. He thinks it's a good idea because for defense. And this lady, who's one of the representatives up there, is just freaking out. And you'd read the article. It tells you a lot about it. Now, radiation is naturally a concern. As time went on, these systems become more complex. And then the Air Force, or actually the government, run by the Navy Bureau of Ships, began to do joint projects with the aliens. Well, during this time, I was working with Wernher von Braun, and my job in my next phase of my life after the Air Force was to build these spaceships that went to the moon. This is an actual hangar where we constructed one of them. But I began to learn a lot about the secret stuff that was going on in Area 51. And very soon we realized this was another WPA project, and the whole NASA thing was a front to the American public to pacify some of their tax money. But the tax money wasn't even supporting this or the other stuff. What the CIA was really doing was running drugs in South America in through Arkansas, an army base there, it's closed now, and selling these drugs and bankrolling Area 51, Lockheed Skunk Works, to the tune of $50 billion per year. Now, the way this is done is that when the NSC, National Security Council, was formed, there's a provision in there that says under the National Security Council is a special agency, which we now know as Majestic 12. This agency did not have to report to the President of the United States until a project was completed. That's why when Reagan got busted for the Contra situation, he didn't know what was going on because of that clause. Secondly, NSA, the National Security Agency, does not have to follow any congressional or constitutional law. That's congressional or constitutional law, unless the particular law has the NSC written in it. So the National Security Agency does not have to do, if they can declare martial law in New York, bring in FEMA to enforce it, they can come and take you away forever and never account to anyone for this. So because of this, Area 51, which falls under the Naval Bureau of Ships, and these other projects that are going on that are top secret, their budgets, because they're under the NSC, do not have to go through Congress, and therefore Congress knows nothing about it, nor the Senate knows nothing about it. The President only finds out about it after a project is finished. That's the way the legislation works. It was all put in place during Eisenhower's time. Here is joint alien technology. One of my associates flew one of these ships. This is a small disc. It has a lateral or a side G-force of 30 Gs. It's about 30 feet across. It's a little small saucer device being flown and photographed at Area 51. This is joint alien and United States technology. This is a drawing of the inside of it. It takes two pilots. One pilot sits here, one pilot sits there. The interesting thing about this particular design is that you have to drown in order to fly it. meaning that you wear a zero-G suit. You put a suit on, and it's flooded with a type of freon that has oxygen in it, and you literally breathe it into your lungs. The pilot told me he had to drown. It was a scary experience because you're running in a liquid. I'm sure some of you have seen National Geographic and Scientific American magazine, wherein they show pictures of a rat in an aquarium, full of water, it looks like, running around in there. Some of you have seen those pictures. That's the technology of the zero-G suit. He told me when he took the suit off that he had a hangover for a week, adjusting back to the atmosphere again. It's kind of interesting. The next thing that began to happen, where the CIA got really concerned, is that the Greys, the negative extraterrestrials, began to implant people. Myrna Hansen was one of the earlier cases that was documented in 1981. Since then, there's been hundreds of thousands. This is a CAT scan showing two implants in her brain. There's one right here and one right here. It cannot be surgically removed because it was holographically installed in the first place. And we've noticed that in the case of Stephen Whitney in Austin, Texas, back in 1984 when he assassinated 14 people, including his wife, before they shot him, they did an autopsy and they found the same two implants in the same two areas. So this is one thing that happens when the implants are activated. Nobody really knows what all they can do yet. But we do know that NSC is behind a program to disarm America, and basically America will disarm themselves by these random incidents. The only thing is they don't tell the American public that a lot of these random incidents in McDonald's and these shootings and these schoolyard shootings, like this one was a college shooting at University of Austin, they forget to tell you that these beings, these people who are doing the shootings, had implants in them. 400,000 Americans estimated have implants, so you have a number. Approximately one out of four children on a milk carton have been abducted and either used for body parts or are being raised by these Greys. So there's something to be, they're definitely a force to be reckoned with. Luckily, the Pleiadians came along in 1971 and began contacting me. They got hold of Billy Meyer in 1975. And they began to give us other technologies. This is a model. The first thing that we learned about, after we learned about body systems, we began to learn about time travel. I guess they had to entice me that way because that's where I came from in NASA. Nature spirits and the other things that were really helpful to the human race came later. So this is a model of a time machine that we built. This began to be a real one, which was partially constructed enough to operate. So we got into our own time travel machines. We learned about healing. This is a drawing of what is now known as the X1. It may be built in Europe later on this year. We did build a part of a prototype. What this device does, and we'll be talking about this in a few minutes about how the body works, but this device fine-tunes the hydrogen atom. And I'll talk about the hydrogen atom, but just remember this device, and I'll explain it maybe a little bit more. But basically what you would do is you put your hand inside this box right here. It has a constant scanning Carillion camera on it, and it's looking for the hydrogen atom. In our nuclear receptor technology and our vitamin technology and all the things that we do, we're always working with the hydrogen atom. Because our bodies are made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. And by working with the electronic forces, we can control the biochemical forces instantaneously. So we're made up of oxygen. Can everybody see this? Hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. The Pleiadians also taught us technology on three levels of technology. First, we learned biochemistry, which you're all probably familiar with in some degree. You know about taking vitamins, you know about nutritious foods, you know about toxins, you know about MSG, you know about nitrites and stuff that's bad. I'm sure you all know that now. The step before that is electronics. Your body is electrical. You have an electrical body. It's your central nervous system. It triggers out of your brain. So we learned all about the electrical system. And then we learned about the DNA of the atom itself that develops the electricity in the body. It was called the electrical precursing level. This is where this device here works. This is where this thing works, on the electrical precursing level. So we developed products and technology from all three levels. The precursing level could be, for example, in a positive mode. It could be if you go down to the beach and you're listening to the waves. If you go in the mountains and hear the wind, you hear beautiful sounds of nature. That's positive. Put that onto your body, the sound level of the body. And if you remember correctly, in the ancient scripture and the Eastern philosophies, in the beginning was the word Aum. And it has a lot to do with it. The Pleiadians teach us a lot about sound technology. Sannyasi says that one of the fastest things to age the human body is negative sound. And you can see it in rock concerts, depending on the type of music you're watching. We created a music, for example, using a Pleiadian ship. We took 18 or 16 tape recorders to Switzerland. The Pleiadians flew a ship around in an area. We had a crew recording the ship, different angles, different Doppler effects. We took that back here, and had Jim Del Tulsa break it down with a sound analyzer. And within that, we found familiar ELF patterns, extremely low frequency patterns. For example, we found the 3.2 hertz. 3.2 hertz, if you're hearing that sound, you wouldn't hear it through your ears, but if you're around that sound, it makes your blood flow so much better without a lot of pressure on your heart. If you have 8.2 hertz moving in sound, it makes your heart pump effortlessly. So we began to create music tapes using these sounds, which we have them over there on our booth. You can go listen to them and check them out. It's our whole sound technology. Now, you hear about ELF being negative all the time. Well, the reason it's negative is that the ELF that strikes your body is not 3.2 hertz, it might be 3.8. So this puts a pressure on your blood, tightens your arteries. You got to get 8.6 hertz. It's the wrong frequency. So as a result, your lifespan is greatly shortened, and your whole hormonal structure, which I'll explain to you in a little bit, is changed in a negative way. Pleiadians lived from 800 to 1200 to 1500 years. We were not made or manufactured or designed or bred or created to have 10 decades of a life experience. That's all we have, and that's not what we're about. I have some friends right now that have beat that whole system, and those of you that get more involved, I can introduce you to people that are approaching 100 years old that look far younger than I do. So we even have, when people get to that point in the program, people on our staff now, which is international staff at Paradigm, that are living examples of these different things the Pleiadians have taught us. It's something that's not just new. Okay. This device here, when we're scanning, when your hand is inside of it, and we're scanning it with a camera, it's Corellian photography. This other machine over here turns on, and it gives us a color, green, red, violet. In your body, when you see these different colors, and they're coming in purity, we photograph them on the aura. But if your electrical frequencies are askew, and you're not interpreting your aura properly, you might be colorblind. You might not be able to interpret red in the red spectrum, 550 nanometers, for example. Or you might not see violet, because your body is not capable of digesting violet in its frequency. You have to manufacture everything that you see. That's why they always tell you you're the universe. So the whole thing with Pleiadian technology and Andromedan technology is to make your body a perfect running universe. Then you become clear to all things. So what happens is we find the distortion in people, and they put them in this tub. The device is turned on, and the hand still remains in the machine. And then we start bathing you in different forms of positive radiation. And automatically your hydrogen atom will adjust. And it'll automatically computer control itself down so you're getting perfect sets of frequencies. So what we're doing with the receptors, for example, and the vitamins, the other things that we muscle test for, is doing that on a more subtle level. This is like an instantaneous way of doing it. And remember also, when you deal with this device or these kinds of things, you are the one that's doing the healing. There's no machine, there's no receptor, there's no vitamin that could ever heal you. You have to heal yourself. They're only guiding your body, the DNA of your body, in the right direction from the precursing level to become perfectly balanced. Now, the opposite of all the harmonious sounds of nature, of course, are what we have outside here in New York. They're the taxi cab horn. I mean, that's probably your greatest electrical stress precursing manufacturing machine in all of New York is your taxi cab horn. If you were to go out there and take all the horns out of the cabs, and run in New York, would be a whole different vibration, just to change the horn. Forget the pollution from the exhaust and all that. It's a very horny place. We also got into propulsion technology. And we learned a lot about engines. This was a mock-up of one of the generators. We learned how anti-gravity works. We learned how to go faster than the speed of light. We got to the point where we got so excited we started building one of these ships. This is 88 feet across. Here's a guy standing on it. Somehow or other, for some reason, this got confiscated. This was in Arizona, so we stopped doing that. Semyonsky says, this is going a little bit too far. So we stopped. Now let me give you a little bit of understanding about the body and how it works. If you were to take a ordinary wire and hook it across a battery, electricity would move through it, negative to positive, and you would have a magnetic field at right angles. If you were to unhook the battery and connect a magnet near the wire, electricity would be once again found in the wire when you move the magnet. So electricity and magnetism are synonymous with one another, okay? Remember that. It's very important. If you were to take a water wheel and start turning a magnet, the north and south pole, around and around and around, every time the north pole went by, the electricity would go to the right, and the south pole came by, it would go to the left. Depending on what speed this magnet turned would determine what frequency range that you would have. If you start turning it very slowly, you have what we call ELF. A very slow change in magnetic field shift makes all your body functions work, okay? And this is transmitted into consciousness on a DNA level. And it's real interesting about DNA. Because this determines how long you're going to live and how healthy you're going to live. DNA, when you're born, for example, DNA is a frequency. That's the first thing it is a frequency. And it vibrates sort of like this in its own little world. And when it starts vibrating, it gets around protein. When it gets around protein, it starts to clothe itself. And when it clothes itself, begins to change its shape, begins to look like this. Next thing that happens is it forms two sugars and two phosphates, and two sugars and two phosphates, four basic amino acids. And then it solidifies in one point, which would be called a chromosome. Then it continues on like this, and it solidifies again, calling itself a chromosome. There's 46 chromosomes in DNA. And there's 46 base pairs per turn when you're born. That's a perfect set of instructions. What these chromosomes do is limit the frequency in waves as they relate to the central nervous system and the actual structure of the cell itself. So a baby, for example, when it's born, has perfect skin, no wrinkles, you know, no warts, you know, nothing, no liver spots. Semyonsky really told me some interesting things that was verified by some research here on Earth. Before a baby is born, when it's still inside the womb, a baby has 46 base pairs per turn, complete set of DNA instructions. If you were to unwind that out of one cell, it would be about 3 feet long, 39.5 centimeters long. This little tiny strand, microscopic strand, would be that long, full of all these genetic codes, generating all this electricity. The mother's placenta is isolating the baby from this environment. As soon as the baby comes out and you cut the umbilical cord, the placenta, it's like a rocket taking off, is jettisoned at that point. As soon as that happens, the baby takes its first breath. When the baby takes its very first breath, not its second breath or the third one, but the very first one, the base pairs per turn are reduced to 34 base pairs per turn. That means that a human baby, once it's entered this atmosphere, and realize before it was born, it was growing, heart was coming, spinal cord, the first thing in the brain, arms, legs, all that was growing. It immediately starts decomposing with its first breath, 34 base pairs per turn. That means the baby has lost 25% of its lifespan when it took its first breath. Now, why do you think that is? Why did they lose 5%? The reason is that the planetary vibration, the whole electronics of the atmosphere and the whole world, is negative. If you were back here 12,000 years ago, which is a time when we were going around our orbit around the Pleiades, because the whole, all of time is in a cycle. If you were here 12,000 years ago before the downfall of Atlantis, you would have lost about 12 base pairs per turn, 10 or 15% of your life during those times. Those are the times when Methuselah lived. And you read about these biblical characters who lived 700, 800, 900 years. So in that time, during the wars, what they call the scalar wave, the Pleiadians called the scalar wave wars of Atlantis, when the Greys were here again, human DNA, because of the vibratory environment, got chopped. And it hasn't changed yet. When you're 18 years old, now we're up to 18, we think, well, that's pretty high energy. This, the 18-year-old, 18 years old, you have 18 base pairs per turn. You've lost almost 50% of your life. At this point, you no longer manufacture DHEA, dehydroepiolesterone, in your body. DHEA is responsible for you breaking down compound fats and sugars into simple sugars and creating energy from photosynthesis through the Krebs cycle. When scientists began to research putting DHEA back in the body, they found that people lived 33% longer. We could reverse it on one level, on a biochemical level, by putting DHEA back in, which we did. In our vitamins that we manufacture now, they have DHEA in them, large amounts of it. We use a lot of it, about 500 milligrams a day. But it's illegal to put those in there because the FDA says you can't have DHEA. It's a drug. You know, they don't want you to live too long. And I can go through a whole sequence of biochemistry that I learned from Sannyasi and show you all kinds of interesting things. When you get to be 55 years old, your base pairs per turn has gone from 46 to 6. Not a very good record. So you're technically dead at 55. I'm technically dead now if I hadn't started reversing my system.
Well, that's some pretty fun stuff. Let me see if there's anything on the other side. Otherwise, we'll throw on one of the old shows from the old days. I'm not sure how much of this is any more over here or not. I always like to check things out. I hope you're enjoying the information. And there we go.
It gets so fast that it penetrates the astral plane and has visible light. Okay? If you were to draw imaginary lines across these things, you'd come up with reference points. And these reference points and frequencies are called octaves. You find it in music, for example. You know, you have a relationship between one music tone and another, and when it's assembled, it becomes a chord. This is because the same thing happens in the body in the hydrogen atom. Okay? Trace minerals are something that are very important in the body. We have base minerals and trace minerals. The base minerals work through the autonomic nervous system, making your heart beat and things you don't think about. And those you can get from chelated mineral sources. And trace minerals are not found on the surface of the earth anymore. You have to get them from trace mineral sources, usually a red clay. That's why we got into that. If you come by our booth, you'll see a red-looking liquid over there. It's trace minerals. Trace minerals work through the parasympathetic nervous system. And they're responsible for consciousness of God, for consciousness when you work on your telepathy and you work on your intuition, all the higher stuff. That's what trace minerals do. If you don't have those, and your body is struggling because we're going into a dimension now where that's where you're supposed to be functioning, you become violent. So as a result, people don't have trace minerals who move into this dimension, they become violent. Their body rejects it, and you see all the violence that we have. So the body is 5% mineral. The next thing we come to is, we go from minerals to enzymes in the flow here. Go right into enzymes. We get into enzymes. Let's find a slide here. We get into consciousness itself. Consciousness is 7 levels. Physical, astral, mental, buddhic, ethnic, buddhanic, and logoic plane. The ethnic plane is a female energy. Most people can't handle that. It's a level of intelligence, believe it or not. The astral plane is where we go at night when we go to sleep. However, because of the change of vibration, our rotation around the Pleiades, as it were, The astral plane is coming down to the physical plane. So you can't go to sleep at night and escape into another world anymore. That world's coming here very rapidly. When this happens, the mental plane comes down on the astral plane and puts a big pressure on the physical body. The mental plane is divided in two levels. The logical, which is all a plane of logic, called the arupa level, and then the rupa level, which is the spontaneous level. What happens in mass consciousness, when the mental plane starts putting pressure on the outward part of the body, when I say they come together, it becomes an outward expression, which is normally an inward expression. People could do very rational, very deep scientific and different kinds of things, way beyond the dimension and scope previously expressed, or they can do very stupid things with no thought about what the consequences are going to be. So as a result, creativity goes one way and violence goes the other. The level of creativity goes much higher and deeper, and the levels of violence becomes explosive. And I think you can see that happening now. Look at the federal building, the train wrecks. You can just see that happening. This was all explained by Sannyasi back in the 70s, but when it was just getting ready to happen. Now you can see it happen. When you get down to this level, these seven levels, these come into our body through enzymes. That's where they come in, mostly through the hydrogen atom, which is a proton and an electron. The electron moves around the proton. The proton is 1,645 times heavier than the electron. This electron goes around that proton by animation. There's a force that pushes that electron around that proton. And that force is the pressure of the spirit of these seven levels of consciousness to express themselves through desire on the physical plane. That's what happens. You control that, believe it or not. And it's real interesting because this is like a rainbow, the music of the spheres. At the proton level, in the morning when the sun comes up, because everything is in motion, we have red, which is the will. You know, you get out of bed, that's willpower. You wake up, that's willpower. So you lose it, then you don't wake up again. You have violet over here on the electron. So in the morning, you have a tremendous influence of the red, logoic, which is the will, on the proton, and a lesser influence, which is the physical plane, on the electron. As the sun moves through the sky, this proton-electron relationship changes. The greater influence is always on the nucleus because it's 1,645 times heavier, got more mass. So when the sun sets, the red is over here on the electron, and the violet is over here on the proton. As a result, your consciousness is entirely different in the morning when you get up than it is at midnight. No comparison. You're entirely like if you are, in fact, another being. Because you're expressing yourself dimension by dimension by dimension in every second. How many times have you walked up to somebody and you instantly just know this person and you want to share with them? Other times you walk by somebody and you're indifferent. Other times you're around somebody and you're repulsed by them. It's that interdimensional auric sharing that's causing these attractive forces to be expressed on the physical plane. You get in an airplane, you go from here to London. All of a sudden, you can't reference the position of the sun anymore. You can't reference your consciousness. They call it jet lag. This is what jet lag is. Misalignment of the internal frequencies of consciousness to the externalization of the hydrogen atom. And you don't think this is important? It is important because the hydrogen atom with oxygen and nitrogen and carbon is combining at the rate of 50 million cells per second if you're healthy. 50 million cells per second. If you screw this up, that combining frequency stops, your auric level drops, and you're on a death process. You're either going up or you're either going down. There is no straight level because that's non-existent. Okay? Time fluctuates. So it's very important to understand that. So in order to balance that, we call that the pH factor. And you always want to put things in your body because pH goes from 0 to 14, so obviously things around 7 are what you want to put in your body. They're not too acid, they're not too alkaline. One of the first tools that the Pleiadians gave us to help us balance is the pyramid structure, which we use here, and we also use it in the receptor. If this were a bottle of grapefruit juice, okay, and I were to rub my hands together and breathe like this and put them over here, I would end up changing the grapefruit juice into something sweet from something bitter. Or I could shorten the process and do it with a pyramid. Now what I want you to do, and I'll just show you a few people here because my microphone cord is not long enough, but I want you to take a couple breaths and rub your hands together like this. Breathe. Get them going real good. Okay, now pull it apart. Feel that energy move apart. Yeah. See? Now turn your hands up. Now come around. I'll put the pyramid over the top of two people. You can feel the pyramid amplify that effect. People that have all this energy don't even know how to use it. Or they can reach just like I'm being drugged back by the cord here. Feel that? It amplifies it a lot. Raise your hands up. So these are tools when you know how to use them. Pretty interesting, huh? I like watching people's eyes light up. Because when the aura raises frequency, the eyes light right away. First thing you notice. You know why? Because the eyes perceive light. We're dealing with light on in its closest aspect. Right, feel that? Yeah. See? Wonder why I wear a pyramid. This is just a hint of why. I've been wearing these things for 20 years. Yeah, some people, it really gets them. I just came back from Japan doing that. The Japanese, they're real sensitive because they do a lot of meditation and stuff. They don't have all the noise in their system. They do have a lot of smog in Tokyo, but they have a different lifestyle. Boy, they get some of them were floored when I did this. Like, whoa, you know. They can't even speak English, so it makes it more interesting, you know. Interpreter has to interpret what's going on. Now, this polarity, this consciousness that we're playing with now, I'm going to demonstrate on another level here real quick, too. Look at the red blood cell just for a second. Hemoglobin. Now, we said we're made of oxygen, hydrogen, and nitrogen, okay? Hydrogen is coming in your body. That's your consciousness, okay? You have seven different endocrine glands in your body. Seven of them. Each one of those has hormones in it. Each one of those glands is for your consciousness. That's why God put seven in. I didn't do it. He did it, you know. Maybe I'm God. I don't know. Maybe we're all God. Okay? Inside the Great Pyramid, for example, if you were to break down the pyramid itself, you would find different levels of consciousness. We have... Maybe I could show you a slide where we photograph this energy coming in. I'll try to show you one. It may not be dark enough. We have to use infrared. But each point of the pyramid is like a point in your body. Okay? It's logical if you think about it. For example, the pineal gland is up here. The pineal gland is your death clock. It's your life clock. Okay? The pituitary gland is your tropic hormone center. It regulates all the rest of your body. Your thyroid is your balance point. Body temperature, calcium assimilation, and thoughts are regulated through those areas. You go all down through the body, get down to the sexual area, it's reproductive. Pyramids the same way. These have actually been located. This point, not only do we know that seven levels exist, we know where they come in. From nowhere, you could say. From within. That's the unique. You can't do this in a box or a circle or a dome. It has to be this. From within. Boom. Boom. These things come out. And that's if you study the, you know, all about the pyramid and these different chambers. There's seven chambers in there. And the ancients used to take, you know, a big bath of energy from these different seven levels inside the pyramid. They talked about Christ taking the initiation in there, for example. Well, on a smaller level, the red blood cell is made up of iron. And you take the blood out of the body, what do you got? A body with no spirit in it, right? It's just useless. The blood is very important. The blood has a pyramid here and a pyramid there. It was just like I drew it here. So you got a pyramid right side up and you got a pyramid upside down. You got four of those in one hemoglobin. Two alpha chains, two beta chains. When you short circuit somebody, and I'll give you an example of short circuiting, I'll show you what happens when we misalign the blood. Okay, this is, you know, need somebody up here for muscle testing now, just one person. Okay. What's your name?
Karen.
Karen, okay. I'm going to test you up. You've been muscle tested before, kinesiology?
About 10 years ago.
Oh, good. So you know what it is then. Okay, now put your arm straight out here. Okay, make a fist. I'll make a fist. I'll relax. Okay, now I want this position because I want the pectoralis clavicular muscle. Now
I
push.
My hand here?
No, just relax. Just resist. Now when I push down, resist. I want to check your strength. Let's get your strength. Okay. Now what happens is you're going to start breathing this blue. This is poison blue. Skeletons all over it. What we're going to do is we're going to distort the shape of that when you breathe that. And watch what happens. Okay. Put your arm up. Now breathe that stuff. Resist. You see the difference? You feel good on the glue or you feel bad?
No, I don't like it.
Okay, doesn't like it. Some people like it, but not too many. Maybe one out of a billion. Okay. I like the way you don't like it at all, do you?
No.
Yeah, okay. Now put that on. I'll put this back up. Now you can breathe the glue again now. Now resist. Yeah, see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's quite a bit, isn't it? Okay. Pick it off now. Okay, don't go away. Now, that is the nuclear receptor, how it works, okay? Because this has pyramids on it, and what they do is they direct the energy back into the carbon atom, which is that shape, and direct it. However, most people can't handle the polarity of the pyramid. There's two polarities to this device, and I'll show you that now while she's up here. Okay, put the pyramid on this way. Okay, now put your arm out. Resist. Real good and strong. I put the pyramid this way. Put your arm out. Resist. Nothing. Okay, you can't handle the upside down pyramid. Recharge it. Feel better now? Thanks. Okay. That's the inversion. If you were to draw what I did there on the board, I actually tested it with a pyramid like that. Then I tested it with a pyramid like that. So what we do with trace minerals and plating technology, we make the pyramid work like that. We fuse that energy. Because that upside down energy, this one, is the female energy. And most people can't handle their own female energy because it's been so misdirected on this planet for so long. Okay? Female energy is the ethnic plane. It's green. Centers in the thyroid gland. I don't know if we brought it. We might have. If you go out to our booth, you'll see trace minerals, and we have this charger. We might not have brought any. But you'll see a charger, and a charger has a, looks like a pyramid like this, a pyramid like that, with a stand on it. You see the minerals sitting in there. The main body of the minerals is sitting down in here. And the reason for that is it puts this charge on to give you that energy. If you test my wife out there with pyramid right side up and upside down, you can, one of you guys can go out and test her if you want to try her. She's strong either way, okay? You can balance that energy, the yin and the yang energies, but most people aren't balanced. Okay. On the receptor, if you look at the receptor, down a little ways here, find the receptor. Down here a little bit. If you look at this receptor, it has a curve to it, and you got pyramids right side up, and you got pyramids upside down. And it puts a field that balances in the center. Right in the center of it is a gemstone. And if you look, I'll show you this chart a little bit more here. When we go from DNA to minerals to enzymes, we come to vitamins. Vitamins is the first unit of biochemistry to possess light. Okay? All vitamins, I don't have my chart there, but for example, let me just ask you a question real quick. If you start to get sick, what's the first thing you want to put in your body? What do you think it is? Somebody said vitamin C, right? Anything else?
Water.
Alcohol? Yeah, alcohol's good. And you don't give a shit. I've done that before. Catches up with you, though. Okay, what you want to put in there is not vitamin C. You want to put chromium in there, okay? Chromium, that's why chromium picolinate has been patented now. We use a lot of it in our formulas. The reason you put chromium in there is, first of all, your body's 5% mineral, controlling 95% of your metabolism. Vitamin C is the value of light. And viruses will grow on vitamin C. You can have a virus invading your body, and if you don't balance your body first, you put vitamin C in it, the viruses can go crazy on you and get sicker from it, okay? So you gotta deal with the intelligence, the electrical body, at the DNA level. So you put chromium in. Chromium activates helper T cells in any of the offshore European AIDS therapies that they do. They always give you chromium. That's one of the first things that they start you with. Then what you do is you put in vitamin A. Vitamin A is on that chart back there, it's lagolic, which is the will. It's a red vitamin, carrot. Then you put vitamin A in to strengthen the immune system. The immune system, when it's strengthened, is balancing its white blood cells and the platelets in the blood, white blood cell platelets, with the detoxing program. And then after that, wait about 7 or 8 hours and then start jamming yourself with vitamin C. And you'll have a whole, then vitamin C will work. I'm sure a lot of you have taken vitamin C before and you get a cold and nothing happened, right? You imagine something happening, but the cold was there. It didn't go away the next day. And we found that if you take garlic all the time, you know, we have these garlic pills we sell. I didn't bring any, but we have them. You won't get sick in the first place. Because we found, I haven't been sick in years. I mean, it's been 4 or 5 years since I hadn't had a sore throat. It's real easy to build your system up by just knowing some common things. You get symptomatic. Sometimes I'll get an itchy throat. When I start getting itchy throat, I just amp up my chromium, gargle with some hydrogen peroxide, and then take a little extra garlic and vitamin C, and it goes away, you know, the next day and go to sleep. That's all you got to do. You got to keep your aura really strong. Okay, so we have vitamins, very important. We get down to vitamins, we go from enzymes to vitamins, we come to protein. Protein is heavier and we get down to the hormones. Hormones are the first unit of biochemistry that possesses consciousness. Now, everything in radiation, everything in the Time magazine I was showing you yesterday, and those of you haven't seen, about killer microbes invading us. All of this stuff, the Ebola, which is more dangerous than AIDS, no cure for it. All of this can be negated by raising your consciousness through your immune system. Anybody can do it. There's no magic to it. It's very simple and very easy to do. Everything that's negative, that's put out by the government, by the aliens, by ignorance, attacks the system here, the first chain of the system, down to the hormone level. The hormone is the first unit of biochemistry. For example, if you have vasopressin in your body, okay? Vasopressin is a pituitary hormone. It's made up of lysine and arginine. B3, B6, and trace minerals. That compound, taken on an empty stomach, gives you vasopressin. Vasopressin, when it's secreted, makes you feel euphoric. Your mental power, your mental clarity goes up. The way you secrete vasopressin is negative ionization, seashore, windfall, wind blowing through pines, beautiful music. All these different kinds of things secrete that. But a lot of people, they go up to the mountains after being in the city. They go down to the seashore after being in the city. Or they go out in the country, and they don't feel anything. They fall asleep for 2 or 3 days. Their body's in toxic shock because they're low on levels of lysine and arginine, and their aura is not strong. So what we do, for example, in our vitamin formula, is we use large amounts of lysine and arginine and put them in the vitamins, because these two ingredients are robbed by carbon monoxide. The first thing that happens when you walk out of this building and you get out in the traffic out there is it's going to steal all the lysine and arginine out of your body, carbon monoxide from automobile exhaust. It takes 8 minutes to completely vaporize your body. Other companies in Europe, like in Switzerland, Sandoz, started making a synthetic out of this stuff. When you make a synthetic out of it, what happens is your body takes that and it works for a while, and your body doesn't manufacture it anymore. So now you're in worse shape, and now you're a drug addict strung out on diapid. So it's called diapid. So it's very important to take it in a natural state. I could go through the entire body. I'm not going to do it now, but it's in my book out there, Death of Ignorance, explaining each hormone step and what you need to take to build it up. And of course, the thymus is the immune system. So it gives you an idea of some of how the body, giving you an overview of how to become a medicine doctor, you know, of your own. Now the next thing is where New Age comes in. We go from hormones into the endocrine system. We have 7 endocrine glands where the hormones are stored, and then they have to go to the brain. So in order to release these hormones into the brain, we come into what's called vibration. Sound, light, and color, vibration. This is basically what the whole New Age is about. In the receptor, we use the gemstone. In our music, we use sound. Outside, you have the full moon, you have the lunar influence. If you're not enlightened in a certain level of vibration during the full moon, your body's, you know, going to be really struggling. And, of course, the crime rate goes up during the full moon. In Turkey, they have laws thousands of year old, giving you a leniency. So if you want to do something bad, go to Turkey and do it during a full moon. And we have stellar influence, which is one of the big signposts of the new age as we see it being presented now. I'll back up here. Go right by that chart. See all these things here? All this is happening because of this. Here we have the Pleiades, right? Here's the moon and the earth. Okay, the moon goes around the earth. And remember, your body's 90% water. So what happens is the surface tension on your body changes every day. You have 30 different types of surface tension you experience every month. The surface tension also changes the surface tension on the endocrine system, meaning that certain vibrations on certain days will cause certain hormones to secrete, causing a certain consciousness, a given consciousness. And on other days, it's not the same anymore. There is not a quite formula. The closest formula we have is astrology that kind of defines how people are going to behave until they're not so emotional anymore. It's like the science of emotion. That's the closest thing that we come to on this planet of describing this. So that's a very big influence. Surface tension is how it's measured by scientists. You have a 30-day, a 28, and a 33-day cycle when the Earth and the Moon rotate. Then you have the Moon and the Earth going around the Sun every 365 and a quarter days. That's why we have a leap year. This is another very powerful vitalizing, devitalizing force. It's vitalizing more so on the exterior in the summer, and more on the interior during the winter. That's why we are more spiritual around Christmas time, even though it has nothing to do with Christ's birthday. Another religious fantasy. So now, this all goes around the Pleiades. Every 827.5 years. That's how long it goes around. That's called the precession of the equinox, the big cycle. If you were to go to Egypt and look at the main pyramid over there, the Cheops pyramid, and you were to count the amount of inches around it, you come up with 827.5 inches. So the pyramid itself defines the precession of the equinox. If you were to look down on the pyramid like this, and draw an imaginary cycle, spiral, I don't care how big your spiral, depending on the size of your circle, going down the pyramid. In other words, you're drawing an imaginary line going down. It's called phi, P-H-I, phi, P-H-I. And that means that the pyramid defines the order of growth in nature. If you had a pine cone with two cones on one level, and next level, with next ring would be three, then two plus three would be five, and then three plus five would be eight, and then so on, all the way out. This is a natural earth grower. If you have it on, look at the receptor, it has the same thing on it. We're defining the same thing, the growth rate, and we're sending that energy out to the gemstone as a definition, which then transmits it down into the DNA of the cell to reverse the aging process. As we go around the sun of the Pleiades during this time period, we divide that in half. We have 12,000 years of what I call degrading DNA or degrading frequency, and we have 12,000 years of upscale frequency. Now, in reincarnation and the growth of the soul, we have a thing called the ring pass knot, meaning that you got to learn your lessons, and as long as you're learning your lessons, you're going to incarnate and disincarnate around the earth and around the solar system pretty much. That's about as far as you're going to go, that sphere of influence. That's why a lot of people that aren't too enlightened, when they pass on, they have a lot of people that are friends of theirs that are waiting for them on the other side. You hear about these near-death experiences. Because they're all family and they're all, it's a good unit. And they're hanging out there and they're waiting for them to make them comfortable on the other side. The real problem is when you incarnate back in, you never know where you're going to land in this process. But it's the random process, I guess. So anyway, the vibratory rate starts to change. And a big swing comes on the backside during the Renaissance, about midway through the Piscean Age that we just came through. During the Piscean Age, the vibratory frequency is such that the spirit, the soul, that's almost ready to leave, but not quite, is still hung up. But now they have some values. We're not back in the caveman, the Cro-Magnon fighting over a dinosaur or something. You know, we're not doing that now. We're moving forward in consciousness. And of course, the extraterrestrials have always been coming here to babysit us through these different phases. They're quite aware of it. And you have the brotherhoods like the White Brotherhood to take the more enlightened ones and hold them together during these Renaissance periods. The fact is, the vibration starts to change, and when it changes, the upscale frequencies start manifesting during the Piscean Age. People start becoming believing in higher values. They're no longer survival, it's now belief. So they structure religions. So all the big strong religions were built with big temples and Bibles and books and all this stuff over the last 2,500 years. However, we're coming into a space now where we don't need a Bible, we don't need a religion, we don't need a global 2000 report to know what's going on. We know it comes from within. This is the Aquarian Age. A higher upscale DNA frequency, much higher vibration. So now we're starting to attract not just the souls that are on the astral plane that are disincarnated in the ring past knot, we're bringing in extraterrestrial people that have beat this cycle and are coming back to visit. Kind of like Jonathan Livingston Seagull. So they start incarnating back into our lives, and so we start to see this potpourri of different kinds of consciousness being expressed on the planet. Now, what's really the real dilemma of the whole thing, as we see it now in space and time, is that we have built in the Piscean time, we see this huge Piscean bureaucratic system, which is called government. And all of a sudden, these changes don't take 1,000 years. When we come around, they also call it approaching the photon belt, we start coming around and we start getting these incarnates that are walk-ins and people that are extraterrestrials that are coming here. It's like a wall of light coming in against this sea of mud. That's just about how you compare it. It's not a gradual transition. It's a gross transition. And so you see a lot of chaos in our society. Because this now is the time to realize what's going on. And so the first thing you have to do is turn back to your temple, because your temple, your air, your food, all your habits are so programmed by the bureaucracy for greed. I mean, you walk out of this place, you see Nitrite City with the hot dog stands and all the stuff, and it's all those, and we're used to those smells that sort of smell good, you know, and all this kind of stuff that really aren't good. So you got to change all this. But let me tell you something, when you make this change, and it can be done, and it's hard to hold it, but when you finally get a grasp on it, life is like nothing you can imagine, because that Pleiadian energy starts just filling our souls every which way. So that's very important to understand what's going on. Now, so vibration is very important. So we're looking at vibration now. Now, vibration releases the hormones. The hormones now come up to the brain. It's kind of bad with this wavy blackboard here. We get up to the brain. The brain is really nothing more than a switch. And the switch is submerged in an electrolyte. One switch is called a receptor. It's normally open, and the hormone comes along and closes it. And another type of switch is called a effector, which is closed and opens. And this has a lot to do with life itself. As we start getting into the auras, and when you guys start understanding this, my next level of seminars will be full-on divine interventions.